Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We bless the Lord on this afternoon. Amen. We thank God for all that he's done. Amen. God is a healer. God is a healer. You know, many times we look just for physical healing, but Lord, heal me body. Lord, heal me soul. And Lord, heal me spirit. When you heal the soul and spirit, then you know you're saved. And that's your only way to heaven. I said, when God, hallelujah, heals your soul and heals your spirit, then you know that you're saved and you're on your way to heaven. Can we say praise the Lord? Amen. We thank God, amen, for reclaiming Brother Aaron.
Thank you, Jesus.
We thank God for reclaiming him, because the scripture says there is more rejoicing in heaven over one that repenteth and 99 righteous that needed no repentance. Amen. And when you've been down in the gutter, amen, when you've been so far away from God for so long, it's nothing like getting back to God. Yes, but we bless the Lord, amen. Today we thank and we welcome everyone to Agape Apostolic Church of Deliverance, where we know that there's only one Lord.
Yes.
Can we say one Lord?
One Lord.
One faith.
One faith.
And one baptism.
One baptism.
One God.
One God.
Father of all.
Father of all.
Who's above all.
Above all.
Through all.
Through all.
And in you all.
In you all.
Amen. Can we say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
And that's Ephesians 4, 5, and 6. If you don't remember any other scriptures, say amen. Eventually, you're going to bring that to your remembrance. Amen. So we're going to ask you to stand at this time. We're going to read from St. John chapter 6, verses 1 through 11 together. Can we say amen?
Amen.
Amen. And let's pray and ask God, God, do it for me.
Amen.
You know, it's good. We've been talking about vicarious faith that God does for others. Today, say, Lord, do it for
me.
Lord, do it for me. Amen. We want God to do it for us individually. You know, because when God does it for you, then guess what? He does it for the whole church.
Right.
So, Lord, do it for me. I need a touch. Lord, I need a blessing. Lord, I need some healing. Lord, only you know the nights. Hallelujah. Only you know the struggles. Lord, only you know the pains. Amen. St. John chapter 6 and verse 1, do we all have it? Can we say amen?
Amen.
If you don't have it, say wait. And if you say wait, then look on the screen, because we're moving on in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 reads, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him. That's greatly my Lord. Amen. When you're in touch with God, people will follow you. Because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes, and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. We'll stop there for now. Lord, we bless your name. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your blessings. Lord, we thank you that you're God, and that you're God all by yourself. Now, as we stand in your presence, and Lord, we realize that in thy presence is the fullness of joy. And Lord, at your right hand, say, please, as we stand in your presence, Lord, we ask you to break every yoke. Lord, we ask in the name of Jesus to set the captives free. Lord, we ask you as we stand in your presence that you heal the brokenhearted. Lord, we ask you to send the word of anointing. Lord, send your spirit. And Lord, set free. And for this we thank you. Can we all say in Jesus' name?
Jesus' name.
Amen. You may be seated. You may be seated. Amen. Hey, Justice, can you bring, I have a bottle of water already open. Can you bring for me, please? I already have one that's open. Amen. Today's message that we're going to deal with, the thought actually comes out of verse 6 of this chapter. Verse 6 of this chapter. But in order to get the full essence, let's read verses 5 and 6. Amen. It says, When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread? What kind of company? A great company. That's when you know God's involved, when it's something too big for you to do by yourself. When it's too big for you, amen. God said, well, Philip, how are we going to feed all these people? And this he said to prove. That word prove is the Greek word parazo, which means to test. Look at somebody and tell them it's just a test. Come on, it's just a test. God is just testing you. Amen. He said this he did to prove him, for he knew what he would do. Sometimes we look at our tests and we think God is like absent. God said, I'm proving you because I already know what I'm going to do. So our message today is just two words. You won't even forget these two. He knows. He knows. You know, a lot of times we feel as though God has forgotten us. Anybody ever feel like God has forgotten you? In the book of Isaiah, he asked the children of Israel a question. He said, can a mother forget her suckling child? Amen. And the Lord tells me, he said, she may forget, but God says, I won't forget you. And he said, just to let you know how sure you can count on this, he said, your names are engraved in the palm of my hands. In other words, God said, I won't forget you. But we have a tendency to forget. You know, this morning I was praying, and the Lord said, you know, the problem in church, the church believe in the sovereign God as creator, but then they live a lifestyle of those that are in evolution. Right? We believe in the sovereign God as creator, but our lifestyle says we believe in evolution. Now we know evolution is diametrically opposite of what? Creation. Because creation says God is in charge. Can I get an amen? Amen. Evolution said things will just happen. And that God is not in control. That seems to be a somewhat oxymoron. You know what an oxymoron is? It's when things are in comparison, but they're opposites. Like you ever hear the term icy hot? So how can it be cold and hot? Jesus said, that stuff I spew out of my mouth. Amen. Another oxymoron we use a lot is good grief. How can something be good and grief? Right? Good grief. Amen. So when you say, then Paul in the book of Romans says a living sacrifice. How can something be living and a sacrifice? Those are oxymorons. They're opposites. Amen. It said, somebody said, I'm alone, but together. That's an oxymoron. Well, the church, we know God is in charge. But we live as though God has lost control of everything. We live as though God has lost control of everything. Let us turn to, we're going to come back here. Let's go to Job chapter 34. Job chapter 34, we're going to read a couple of verses in Job to show you what it means when your difficulties, your challenges, your trials, where you at to the point that you feel as though God is not in control. Amen. Believe in God as creator, but your lifestyle is that God, you believe in evolution. Amen. Another oxymoron, you know when you think about it, you ever heard the saying, a devout atheist? Wait, how are you going to be devout and an atheist? Devout means you believe in the sovereign God. Atheist says there is no God. The Bible of God said the fool has sin in his
heart,
man. So how are you going to be a devout atheist? Well, unfortunately, in church today, we're representing in our lifestyles both worlds. Because when we come to church, we get excited like God is creator and God is in charge. But in the solitude of our own lives and minds, we feel as though things are so rampant that not even God can control them. But God, hallelujah. Can we say, but God? He knows. The praise team used to sing a song, He Knows My Name.
Yes, He does.
I'm trying to figure out, why do you stop singing that song? He knows. Do you believe God knows my name? God knows. That's what I like about our God. He's a personal God. Job 34 verse 2 says, this is Job and Eli dealing with Job, because Job had gotten to the point that he felt as though God was unfair in his dealings. He felt as though God was out of control. And God not no longer in control and didn't know what to do. So Job says, hear my words. Eli, in speaking to Job, sorry, said, hear my word, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have
knowledge.
Anybody here got knowledge? We know who God is.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Anybody know who God is?
Yes, sir.
So we got knowledge. He says, Job says, Eli says, for as the ear trieth words, and the mouth tasteth meats.
Yes.
Amen. The next verse said, let us choose to us judgment. Let us know among ourselves what is good. You know what? Eli is trying to get Job back into the right frame of mind. Amen. Now, Job knew that there was a creator, because he said, I know that my creator liveth. And then he shall stand the what?
Land of faith.
So Job believed in the sovereign creator.
Yes.
But then let's drop down to verse 9, when Job's lifestyle reflected that evolution. He said, for he said, it profiteth a man nothing that he should delight himself with. How in the world can I say that I know my Redeemer liveth? How can I say I believe there's a creator and he shall stand in the latter day? And then I turn around and say, it profiteth man nothing to trust in God. That's when you know your trial is you are going through one of those sifting periods. When the devil is trying to sift you as wheat, trying to make you feel as though God has lost all control. How do you go from knowing that I shall come forth as gold to saying that it profiteth me nothing to serve God? So in the mind, he knew that God was the sovereign creator. But now in his life, he's living as though God has lost control and that God is no longer in control. Amen. Verse 10, he said, therefore, Eli said, hearken unto me, ye men of understanding. Far be it from God that he should do
wickedness.
Lord, thank you. You don't have to worry about God doing wickedness in the Almighty that he should commit iniquity. There is no fault in God.
Amen.
I said there is no fault in God. He goes on and says, for the works of a man shall he render unto him, and cause every man to find according to his ways. In other words, eventually you will reap what you sow. Just don't be weary in.
Well doing.
Come on, don't be weary in.
Well doing.
For in due season,
you shall reap.
You're going to reap if you
not.
The problem is the church is fading and feel as though God has lost control. But guess what? He knows.
He
knows.
Thank you.
He knows. But just like he told Philip, he said, Philip, what are we going to do to feed all of these people? But he asked him that to test him, because he knew what he was going. In your tests, in your trial, don't you realize God knows what he's going to do? Amen. The book of Proverbs said, it's the glory of the Lord to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings to search out the matter. So what happens in our trial, we try to take the place of God.
Amen. Did not the scripture say, when a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it not yet as he ought to know it? But God knows. He's just permitting you to go through it to see what you're going to do. And if we drop down a little later in that chapter, chapter 6, it says that the Lord said, okay, you don't know what to do, but I know what I'm going to do because he knows. He said, make the man sit down in an orderly fashion. He said, but before we can do anything, bring me your little. Bring me your 5 loaves and 2 fish. And bring it to me. Hallelujah. You don't know what to do. Lord, today, you that got the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Bring it to Jesus. Because he knows what he's going to do. He knows how to fix every trouble in your life if you bring it to him. Doesn't the scripture say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, he said, I'll give you. Well, why do we keep trying to do what God needs to do? He said, bring it to me. And the Bible said he looked up to heaven and blessed it. Now, when you do it the right way, when you bring it to God, as you give, it never runs out. When you bring it to God and you give it to him, you don't have to second guess. You don't have to practice evolutionary lifestyle so God is not in control. You can just trust in the Creator because God is in control. He said, make them sit down, then bring me your little, and I'll turn it into much. Now the scripture said, we know there was 5,000 men, but it was greater than that. It said that he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. Then after he finished distributing, you can't do anything without him. And that's why the Lord said, without me, you can't do
nothing.
Come on, without me, you can do
nothing.
So when he brought it to Jesus, after he finished feeding 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he said, don't let nothing be left over. He said, gather the fragments, and they gathered up 12 fragments in a basket because they went through the right process. I wonder how many this afternoon their 5 loaves and 2 fish keep running out because you won't give God what he deserves. You won't surrender to God. You keep fighting God as though you have a better way, but God knows. I said he knows how to fix every problem in your life if you will give it to him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
In the book of Matthew, the Lord, when dealing with the church, look at somebody and tell them, you're in the church. Come on, look at somebody and tell them, you're in the church. Now, when God was dealing with those in the church, he said, take no thought for your life. We're trying to do what God has to do, but guess what? He knows. He tells him, he said, take no thought for your life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to put on. Amen. He says, I'm God and I know. Amen. And as he continues in the discourse, he said, how many of you by taking thought? And this is all you that's been worry works. Hallelujah. This is all you that's trying to figure out what God has to do because he already knows what he's going to do. He's just permitting you to go through the test. Hallelujah. It's time to look on my test. It's just a test. It's just a test. Because God already knows how he's going to fix it. Amen. We used to sing a song, I lay awake all night, but that's all right because Jesus is going to fix it. So you need to stop fighting God. You need to surrender. Say, Lord, not my will, but your will be done. Lord, not my way, but your way. Because he knows. He said, why are you worried about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to put on? He said, look at the lilies in the fields. Look at the fowls in the air. He said, how many of you by taking thought can add one cubit to your stature? He said, all that worry, you can't change a thing. You cannot change a thing. So he said, just bring it to me. Just every time you have a problem, one of the five loaves and two fish. When you get up to God, you got something left over. Now, a lot of times we like to skip and cheat on God. It's like, man, huh? Now, I wasn't supposed to go here, but can y'all tell me go there anyway? Anybody want to tell me? Because you know I'm going. Even if you don't tell me, I'm going. Amen, because it wasn't the message in God that's putting it on me, so I'm going. Now, I'm not trying to be nosy, but I'm just going to tell you the truth. When you trust God, you do what God says without reservations. Amen, that means God is what? Sovereign. God is creator. God is in control. Now, when you don't trust God, say, why am I going to pay my 10% and give offerings to God, and I can't make it by myself? That's why your five loaves and two fish keep running out. Because you're not bringing it to Jesus. I don't know if we'll get too many amens. It don't make a difference. Hey, y'all already know I'm going. You know why? Because if God tells me to say it, I'll say it. Because at the end of the message, he won't be whipping me for being disobedient. But we don't trust God because we don't believe he is sovereign. So those five loaves and two fish, when he said, give it to me, he said, if I give it to you, what am I gonna need? But when you give it to Jesus, you have more than enough left over. He said, gather the fragments because everybody is full. And then the Lord says, I know I'm going back and forth. Can y'all sing with me?
It's all right.
Can you sing with me? Because I'm trying to get us to stop living this evolutionary lifestyle.
Right.
And so God has lost control, and that God doesn't know what you're going through. That's evolution. The Big Bang Theory, he just started everything and let it run its course. Creation said, God has it in control. God knows everything that you're going through right now in spite of it. But he's just testing you. Because he already knows what he's going to do. But you got to stop fighting God. Well, see, I'm not fighting God. I just think sometimes what God says just doesn't make sense. He didn't say understand it. He said believe. A lot of stuff don't make sense. It don't make sense. You can take a lamb, amen, and listen, Jesus was the Lamb of God, but he was a lion of the tribe of Judah. That don't make sense. Hallelujah. Jesus, I am the first and the I am the last. That don't make sense. How are you going to be in the beginning and in the end? How are you going to be a humble lamb and then a conquering lion? That don't make sense. But for those of us in the sea, we know it is true because he's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He will reign in where there is no way. He is our God. So it don't make sense. God, but I believe. Do you believe? It don't make sense that he's the Father and the Son. Hallelujah. That don't make sense. But if you say you're baptized, Jesus' name is given the Holy Ghost. You believe that he is the Father and he is the Son. Somebody said, I don't know about being the way I said, no go later. I know that God can be anything. Can God be anything? You know why he can be anything? Because he knows. So God said, you know what? Look at somebody say, you're in the church. And he saw him to the church. Okay? You're in the church. He saw him to the church. He's not talking to the world. He's talking to the church. And just to let you know, now we're going back to Matthew chapter 6.
All right.
Because I get accused a lot of time of not staying the course. I stay the course, but I also follow the Spirit.
That's right. That's right.
Now I'm going to go back to the church. He said, you worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to put on. He said, now all these things do the nations of the Gentiles are the unseen. He said, this is what they worry about. What they're going to eat, what they're going to drink, what they're going to put on. But then God puts a different spin on it to let you know that he's God. He He said, but your heavenly Father. This time he doesn't say I'm God. He said, I'm your heavenly Father, which is a term of endearment. Just like a father would not give his son a stone for bread. Just like a father would not give his son a serpent for fish. Just like a father would not give his son a scorpion for egg. He said, if ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give good things to them that ask? He said, but right now, don't think of me as God, but just look at me as your heavenly Father, because I know what things you have need of before you ask. Can you say he knows? God definitely knows what things we have need of before we ask. Somebody said, well, how can I be a creationist and an evolutionist at the same time? Evolutionists doubt God. Creationists believe God.
Right.
Amen? Creationists believe God. Creationists believe I believe that he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that I ask or think. The evolutionist says it's too big for God. The evolutionist said, God can't do that. God hasn't done this before. Is there anything? Is there anything too hard for our God? God knows. Whatever you're experiencing this afternoon, God knows how to fix it. Now, can we go over some things that God knows? I heard somebody say, God knows how to deliver the God. Anybody trying to live right? Anybody trying to live godly? Then he said, God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. These are the things that we know about God that God knows. Amen. The scripture says, known unto God are all of his creation from the beginning of the world. Amen. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 46 concerning God, it says, in the beginning was our God, and he knows. Amen. And in the end is still our God. God knows. Amen. Declaring the end from the beginning. And anybody else, you know anybody else can do that? We talk about creation. He said, I don't have to wait till the end because I already know the end. Well, how do you know the end? Because I stated it in the beginning. Why are you doubting God? Do you know the end? I don't know the end. I'm going to tell you right now. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't know nothing about the end. But declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, seeing my counsel shall stand.
Hallelujah.
That's God. These are the things that what? We know. Amen. Scripture, nevertheless, the foundation of God standing sure. Having been sealed, the Lord knoweth them that are. Anybody here belong to God? Anybody here child of God? Then he knows. I said he knows. Amen. He said, but now I know you, but just depart from iniquity. And depart from all that ungodly living.
Come on.
Amen. We're talking about today, I want to know. Anybody want to know him?
Yeah.
Now we know he knows us. Anybody want to know him? Did not the Apostle Paul say that I may know him? Now he knows us. But God is permitting you to go through the test so that you will know him. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That I may know him, the power of the resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his
death.
Unto his death. So God knows. He's been allowing you to go through the hardships, the trials, to see if you believe him. Because when you don't believe, that means you have doubt. And the Bible said, when you come to God in doubt, let not that man think that he shall receive
anything of the Lord.
So my life is in. My life is out. My life is up. My life is down. I'm joy and I'm sad. You don't believe God. Because when you believe God, you will surrender and stop resisting the counsel of God. If you continue reading with Job, in Job, I believe it's in chapter 35, Elihu said, Job, why are you fighting God? Why are you striving against God? Why are you saying that my righteousness exceeded that of God? That's when you're in a very spiritually dangerous position, when you start fighting God. Amen. Read Romans chapter 9, it talks about fighting God. Read Isaiah chapter 45, it talks about those that ask God, why? Amen. I don't have time to go to all those today. But you read it on your own time. Romans chapter 9 and Isaiah chapter 45, about those that like to ask God, why? And the scripture said, God is the potter, and you are the clay. And because he's God, he doesn't have to give you an account of any of his matters. Amen. He said, I can make this clump of clay this way, and I'll make the other lump of clay that way, because I'm God. And I don't have to tell or explain to you what or when or how I'm going to do anything, because I am God. He knows. Whatever you're going through today is just the task. He said, Philip, he said, I'm just proving you, because I already know what I'm going to do. We don't understand or know how our situation is going to work out, but God knows. The scripture said, know unto God all of his works from the beginning. He knows. But do you trust him enough to say, Lord, you know what? I'm so tired of doing things my way. Amen. This ain't, what was it, Burger King or McDonald's or whoever that was? Have it your way. I don't know who it is because I don't need it, but I'm going to say it's time to stop doing it your way. Everybody eating that your way stuff is in the hospital and all kinds of sicknesses and stuff. Your way don't work. Amen. Who said, you can do it my way? Your way or whatever.
Burger King.
Yeah. Last time I ate Burger King, I got so sick twice in a row, I never ate it again. That was 20 years ago. Your way wasn't working. My way wasn't working. So I gave it up. Amen. Gave it up. Well, a lot of us have been getting sick spiritually, and we still won't give it up. Your way cannot have precedence over God. You must learn to surrender, because God knows. Let's go to Revelation. We're going to read a couple of things in Revelation, and I'm about to close. Amen. I'm about to close. Let's go to Revelation. We're going to hit a couple of verses in Revelation, just to let you know about how our God knows. Amen. He knows everything. And you don't have to question God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2. Can we read this together? Because we need to have it in our spiritual mind. I'm not worried about your carnal mind. Amen. Because the carnal mind is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed. But let's get it in that spiritual mind. Revelation 2:2, he said, the Lord what? The Lord what?
Knows.
Do you believe God knows? Now, these are the seven churches that God sent a message to. Every last one of these churches, let's see what he tells them. Amen. So verse 2, Revelation 2 says, I know thy works, thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou cannot spare them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them to be liars. And then at the end of that, addressing that church, he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the
Spirit.
Every one of the church starts off with, I know, and then it ends up with, he that hath an ear. You know what God is saying? If you want to overcome, you got to listen to what I'm telling you that I know. Amen? He said, now I know. Then in the end, he tells you what to do to overcome what he knows. Amen. Revelation 2:9 to the church of Smyrna, he says, I what?
No.
I know thy works. To the church of Pergamos, Revelation 2:13, he says, I.
No.
Who is he writing these messages to?
Church.
Look at somebody and tell him you're still in the church. So because you're in the church, guess what? God
knows.
He knows. Even if you're outside the church, he knows. There's no difference. God certainly knows. Amen. All right, now let's go to Revelation 2:19 to the church of Thyatira. God tells them, I
know.
I don't care what shit Jay's in. I don't care if you're in church in Albany, if you're in church in Russia, if you're in church in Troy. Guess what?
God knows.
He knows. God knows. Amen. To the church of Philadelphia, he said, I
know.
I know. You're not going through anything this afternoon that God doesn't know. You know, sometimes in our finite lives, we get down and tell God what he already
knows.
if you read about, I believe it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 38, says, your heavenly Father knows what things you have. But do you trust him enough to say, Lord, I surrender. Amen. Then to the church of Philadelphia, Revelation 3:8. Every last one of these churches starts off with the same three words. I know. And they end with he that had that, not just a regular ear, because we all hear, but a spiritual ear to hear and then to do something with what you hear, because faith without works is
dead.
Faith without works is dead. To the church of Laodicea, Revelation 3:15, he said, I
know thy works.
I know thy works. And it ends the same way. He that overcometh, anybody want to overcome this thing? Well, you got to open up your spiritual ears to hear what the Spirit. You've heard enough of what people got to say. You heard enough of what you got to say. But can we give in to the Spirit? How many really trust God? Can we give God a wave offering? We're not talking about what you did before. Amen. The thing about God, every day is a new day. Even a minute ago, it's forgotten in God if you do it right. But how many trust God right now? If you trust God, surrender. Amen. You know why God taught Israel to say hallelujah? And why the police make you do this now? When they say hallelujah, they're doing what? When you lift your hands up and praise you, you're doing what? So the world said, wow, that works so good in the church. When I get somebody under arrest, I want to say, what? Put your hands? The church needs to start putting their hands up and surrendering. You need to surrender to God. Well, it's hard to say hallelujah and give God a praise when your hands are in your pockets because you don't trust God. It's time to let all that go and say, Lord, have thy own way. In the book of Proverbs, the scripture says this, trust in the Lord with. I wonder how many of today are really surrendering. Trust the Lord with all thy heart and lean not into your own
understanding.
In all thy ways, and he will what? Direct thy path as we all stand. And then we're going to close with Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. You can get on the screen. But I think most of us know this. This is what God told the children of Judah. Now, at this time, Judah was going through something. Judah had been subdued, and they had three different captivity times of captivity. When Nebuchadnezzar took them back to Babylon, amen, and they felt hopeless and helpless. But God told them, for I know the thoughts that I think. Do you really believe God knows? As we all stand there, elders and the ministers come forward, do you believe that God knows the thoughts that he thinks towards you? Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you and you gotta trust God for that. Because when you don't trust God for that, you say, I know what the word of God says, and I know what God said to me in my spirit. But it's hard for me to trust God enough to believe that this is going to turn out all right. It's time to surrender. It's time to fight. Stop fighting God. He knows. God this afternoon, he knows everything that he is about you. In the book of Psalm 139, the Lord said, I have searched thee and known thee. God knows. But right now he's searching the different crevices in our lives.
The areas in our lives where we refuse to surrender. God says, I got to keep testing you so that I can bring you out of that doubt and that evolution lifestyle, and I need to bring you back to me. Stop fighting God. Don't think you got the better way. He already knows. Only God knows the end from the beginning. Only God knows how everything is going to turn out. So brothers and sisters, it's time to surrender. Elevate.